All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. I have more breaking news. I will deliver it in the form of a tweet. Green Chili Por Vida writes in, both senators from New Mexico, Heinrich and Udall, co-sponsoring Medicare for All. JR just confirmed that. They are indeed doing that. So now we're up to 15. It's happening live in the middle of the show. Mm-hmm. So what Al Franken said.
Yeah, he had a full Facebook message, but I'll read this part that had a little bit of wavering in it. Establishing a single payer system would be one way to achieve universal coverage, and Senator Sanders' Medicare for All bill lays an important marker to help us reach that goal. This bill is aspirational, and I'm hopeful that it can serve as a starting point for where we need to go as a country. In the short term, however, I strongly believe that we must pursue bipartisan politics policies that improve our current healthcare system.
He should have left a statement out.
Yeah.
That statement is so weak sauce.
Yeah.
The bill is aspirational. In other words, I don't really mean it. Just say you
it's
are going to vote
point.
For it.
It's a marker, but let's
make it bipartisan.
Yeah.
But you're going to get Republicans to vote for Medicare for All. If you got that magic solution, I'd love to hear it. They can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. Just shush. Just say I'm co-sponsoring. God damn, man. Aspirational. Jesus Christ, man. Anyway.
You look nice today.
Oh, thank you. My mood switches immediately.
You
okay,
do.
Thank you. Well, you as well, but I guess Thanks. That's normal. Okay. All right, last tweet for you guys. Davey M says, when waiting for TYD to come back from a break and the music starts, I'm unsure if I'm entering a jazz club or a strip club. That is fair enough. Maybe a little bit of both. But your tweet then needlessly aroused Ted Cruz. He's now watching #TYT Live. All right, anyways. All right, Casper, you've got a lot of stories.
I do. All right, let's begin with an update on a story we did yesterday. YouTube superstar PewDiePie has apologized for his use of the N-word during a stream of a video game he was playing on his channel. Now, we can't use his video for copyright reasons, but I do want to read you the most relevant portion of that apology. He said, I'm not going to make any excuses as to why I did. Okay, I'm not going to make any excuses as to why it did, because there are no excuses for it. I'm really sorry if I offended, hurt, or disappointed anyone with all of this. Being in the position I am, I should know better. I owe it to my audience and to myself to do better than this, because I know I'm better than this. He also said, I'm disappointed in myself because it seems like I've learned nothing from these past controversies.
Interesting.
So I watched the full video, and it came across as a heartfelt apology. And so, look, for me, it was less about him saying that word. I mean, at this point, I feel like there's so much hideous stuff going on in the world that I'm desensitized to words, even though no one should use that word. But the part of the story that I thought was relevant was just like this constant complaining from people who create content on YouTube about advertisers pulling out. Yes, advertisers pull out when they feel uncomfortable with your content, and it affects all of us, not just the person who puts out that so-called questionable content, right? By the way, my favorite part about this story was some of the reaction that we got on Twitter. One person thought that I was monstrous for supporting the video game developer who decided to do copyright strikes against PewDiePie to take his content away from PewDiePie's channel.
Actually, let me update you guys.
Monstrous.
Let me update you guys on that poll, because we did that poll. Should video game developers issue copyright strikes on PewDiePie? And that was tytnetwork.com/pie. And only 33.5% said yes. 66.5% said no, they shouldn't. And I had said no, you had said yes. It's an interesting conversation. Even though I disagreed with you a little bit, I did not think you were monstrous.
Right. Okay. And look, I think the framing of that question is a little off, because whether or not they should isn't the answer that I was giving. I was saying Yeah, advertisers and companies get to decide, and they should be able to decide.
No, like, but we all agree to that.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course they can decide.
You can't force anyone. I mean, it's just like television. You can't force advertisers to advertise on any given show. I mean, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And so, look, actions and words and the way you do your show has consequences. And that has nothing to do with the First Amendment. A company gets to decide where they advertise or where they have their content.
And look, I think that it was a good apology, and so let's all move on. As I said yesterday, you know, I think that he's largely joking. I hope that he is. I believe that he is. And my sense of it is that he thinks people are overly sensitive to it because we are beyond those issues. As we pointed out yesterday, I don't think we're beyond the racial issues at all. I mean, we just reported yesterday on an 8-year-old kid being hung by some 14-year-old white kids, and then the cop was like, oh, I want to protect the feelings of the 14-year-old white kids. And so I don't think we're beyond those racial issues at all. And it seems like PewDiePie in that apology is saying, like, I get it, it's not just a word and we're not beyond it. And in fact, I think that Anna basically kind of laid out for him why she had objected to what he said. I want to just show that clip real quick from yesterday's show.
Like I said, I don't know PewDiePie personally. I've never had a conversation with him. The only thing I do know about him is that he has already gotten in trouble for anti-Semitic jokes and anti-Semitic imagery. Seems like he didn't learn much from that because he pulls this again.
It's almost as if they watched the clip, because the quote that Anna just read was, he said, I'm disappointed in myself because it seems like I've learned nothing from these past controversies. So I don't know if they actually watched the clip or not, and that's not important. The point is that it is a good apology, because he's saying, come on, just like Anna pointed out yesterday, you should learn from your previous mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. But I wish we were done with anti-Semitism, but we aren't. I wish we were done with Nazis, but we aren't, as PewDiePie himself pointed out after Charlottesville. Mm-hmm. And I wish we were done with people using the N-word seriously, but we aren't. And so I think that he gets that now. I hope he gets it. And that's what my main overall point from yesterday, and I'll repeat today, is this is a good moment to have a conversation about it. I believe that we can all learn from this conversation. I don't want to shut that down. There are some people you can't talk to. They have no interest of ever learning or changing or growing from a mistake. I don't, right or wrong, I don't put PewDiePie in that category, and it seems like he did learn. And it's not to say learn as in, like, you have to agree with our ideology or our politics. I don't know what PewDiePie's politics are at all. That's not the issue here. It's just to say, hey, if it turns out you're doing something that is deeply offensive, like saying, calling people the worst name you could think of and associating it with black people, that's probably not a cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. Just don't be a dick. And he's saying, I get it. I think that's excellent progress, and exactly why you have the conversations.
All right, well, let's have a conversation about something else. An emergency management organization is apologizing after one of its employees, possibly former employees, accidentally posted an offensive meme on social media. So this is the Chelan County Emergency Management Facebook page where this meme was posted, and they had to apologize for it. It says, all lives splatter, nobody cares about your protest, keep your ass out of the road. Now, like I said, they had to apologize for it. Apparently, emergency services workers this week accidentally posted an offensive meme to his department's official Facebook page after initially intending to only post it to their own personal page.
Oh, well, that's it.
The person who posted it has not been identified. I genuinely don't care what his or her identity is, but that person also included the following comment: I don't wish harm on anyone, but protesters don't belong in the road. So staff at the emergency management did release a statement saying that they feel terrible about this inappropriate and hurtful post made, and that it made it onto the Facebook page. Changes have already been made to procedure to assure nothing like this will ever occur in the future.
Okay, a couple of things here. So I'm not buying any of this. I do believe that he accidentally posted it on the official page instead of his personal page. Or maybe he realized afterwards that was a bad mistake and everybody did. But that's the least relevant part of the story. So You've got a cop here apparently who thinks Black Lives Matter is a joke, and so if you're doing a protest, I'm gonna call it, you know, all lives splatter. I get it, like we get to murder you and run you over in the streets.
So I just wanna quickly clarify something. I haven't read that it was a cop, and I just wanna be clear about that. This is like an emergency like response, emergency management arm of the county. So we don't know if it's a cop, and I just wanna make sure that we're clear on that.
Thank you, Anna. Yeah. So it's the sheriff, Brian Burnett, who's making excuses. It is an unnamed emergency services worker that apparently posted this, okay? So important clarification. Now, that worker thinks, and I mean, if they're an emergency service worker and they're driving an ambulance, and they think all lives splatter, is that a good thing? I don't know, I'm deeply concerned about it. Okay, secondarily, we just had Charlottesville, where a neo-Nazi ran over somebody and murdered them. And it was considered an act of domestic terrorism. You're still posting that meme after Charlottesville.
Social media has done some pretty incredible things, right? Because people can't help themselves. People don't stop. I don't care if it's your personal Facebook page. Obviously, it's worse if it's the Facebook page that belongs to your employer and it's an emergency response organization, right? But here's the thing, like just think about what you're about to post for a minute before you post it. If you have even the slightest reservation or even the slightest hint or clue that it could get you in trouble or some people might criticize you for it because it's deeply offensive, especially given the fact that someone was just run over and killed for being a counter-protester, don't post it. Just don't post it.
So look, I know what the excuse is gonna be. It's look, it's not about any particular protests or race, religion, nothing like that. It's just annoying to have people on the road. And so like that's why we wanted to run them over and kill them. And we're just kidding around, man. I mean, we probably won't kill them, but I really don't care about your protests so much that we think it's funny that we would kill you. It's also so funny when the Muslim radicals go out there and drive people into people and kill them, you know, dozens at a time in all over Europe. And that's so funny, right? Oh, that's not funny, but this is funny. Why is that not funny and this is funny?
Well,
I mean, argue that both are not funny.
Yeah, both are obviously not funny.
Yeah.
But they'll find excuses.
Yeah.
You know, they'll find excuses. And look, when we covered the story of the lawmakers who wanted to pass legislation that would make it okay if someone accidentally runs over protesters who are blocking roads, people would make excuses for it. Well, you shouldn't be blocking the roads. Really? You think that that calls for an execution? Like people who are blocking the road during a protest deserve to be executed?
And you're gonna say, oh, come on now, you guys are exaggerating. I mean, if you run people over, are they really gonna die?
Yeah,
they're gonna die. That's kind of what happens, and that's exactly what happened in Charlottesville with Heather Heyer. Lastly, this is a minor thing, but it's relevant to whether they're cops or emergency service workers, etc. And I think the attitude of the sheriff bothers me. And so anyway, nobody cares about your protests. Well, if you're the sheriff, your job is to kind of care about their protests. If you're an American and you're part of the government, your job is to protect their right to protest. So I hated Burnett's excuse of, oh, he or she accidentally posted it on the official page when he meant to be hateful on his personal page.
Right.
So it's no big deal. And so if he winds up running you over or not taking care of you after somebody else runs you over, I mean, he just did that personally. He didn't do it as an official.
Well, that's how he really feels or how she really feels behind the scenes.
Yeah, so we were trying to cover it up. So we were, you know, we made a mistake in how we covered up their real feelings. So that's what we apologize for. But will we take action against this person? Or at least sit him down and talk to him and go, wait, now you're not really gonna run over people, right? And if you're in an ambulance, and remember, let's read the Constitution together. Let's read the First Amendment together about the right to assemble and how, as part of the government, we're supposed to protect that right. Remember that there is something other than the Second Amendment in the Constitution. At least have that conversation and make us feel a little bit better that you actually care about the Constitution, our laws, and our lives. It's not too much to ask for.
Yep. All right, moving on. An NRA host recently did a segment where he aired his grievances in regard to the media referring to guns as weapons. Now, this is Grant Stinchfield, and you might have seen some of the NRA videos that he put out there before. But what you're about to watch is his reaction to an article that was written by the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, where they essentially talked about students who were concerned about concealed carry on campus. Now, in that piece, they referred to guns as weapons, because that's what guns are. But again,
Stinchfield, how dare you, Anna?
Is not happy about it. But don't take it from me. Let's hear from him.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution recently wrote an article about campus carry taking effect in Georgia and the controversy surrounding it. But it's their use of the word weapon that has me bewildered. The reporter uses, quote, weapons in place of firearms or guns so many times, it just becomes bizarre. Here, fears of gun owners getting drunk and firing their weapons. I firmly believe she uses the phrase weapons over firearms in an effort to scare the uninformed. But then I realized Georgia calls their concealed carry permits a, quote, weapons carry license. I don't like that name at all. To me, the military carries weapons. Guns carried for offensive purposes. I carry a firearm, a tool used for self-defense.
What?
Okay.
I mean, really, are people buying into this? Like, what? It's a weapon. I remember when I did jury duty, it was a criminal case, and it had to do with attempted murder with a deadly weapon, right?
No, a deadly firearm.
No, no, but it wasn't a gun. It was a car. The car was referred to as a weapon because a car could be a deadly weapon, okay?
But it could have gone really.
The whole purpose of a gun is to serve as a weapon. Oh, you don't like that? You don't like the fact that it's a gun is meant to kill. That is the only purpose a gun is there for, right?
Said, wait a minute. It's I go hunting. Well, then you kill deer with it, etc.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I do it to defend myself, but then you shoot at human beings who then you then kill. Because that is the point of you're not hitting them with feathers. You're hitting them with bullets, and the bullets kill people. So here's my favorite part of this. This is political correctness run amok.
Oh my God.
And so whenever you see a conservative blame a liberal for anything, know that that is exactly what they want to do. So they say, oh, these liberals, they want political correctness. Political correctness means that a word or a phrase can be factually correct, but we don't want you using it because we've considered it to be politically incorrect, okay? So a gun is defined in the dictionary as a weapon consisting of a metal tube with mechanical attachments from which projectiles are shot by force of an explosive, a piece of ordnance. Okay, so that is the dictionary definition of a gun, starts with a weapon. Okay, well, but that is politically incorrect now for Republicans.
Well, Stinchfield's next video will be about how much he dislikes the dictionary for defining a gun as a weapon. By the way, okay, so
it's a well-known dictionary bias.
This goes beyond him getting his feelings hurt over what he considers like defamation of his favorite toys, right? For me, the big concern is how incredibly irresponsible some Americans are with their guns. People who have legally purchased them and unfortunately don't take gun safety seriously, which is why we see story after story of a young person, a kid, having access to their parents' gun, either shooting themselves accidentally or shooting another family member. And so I always want to really emphasize the discussion of gun safety when we get into these conversations, because oftentimes, more often than not, everyone goes into their corner and they start yelling at each other about whether or not there should be gun control. Okay, well, if we can't agree on that, then in the very least, let's at least take these guns seriously. They are deadly weapons. They are weapons. We should take them seriously. And in that video that he did, he acts like, no, this is not a weapon. This is all fun and games. There's no problem here. It is a weapon. That is what it is. If that gets your feelings hurt, then go educate yourself on what it is.
It seems like he got triggered. Interesting. All right, but Anna, you're not being fair. It's not a weapon, it's a firearm. So I looked up the dictionary definition of firearm. A small arms weapon, as a rifle or pistol, from which a projectile is fired by gunpowder. So, you didn't even bother to look up any of the definitions.
Is he upset at cops that say drop your weapon?
Does
he get his feelings hurt then?
Okay, he is a very special snowflake. So if you call his weapon by the wrong name, he's gonna get triggered, and God knows what he'll do.
Guys, if you're in favor of guns, you want lax gun regulation, okay, I hear you. But really, like, when you watch that video, do you really agree with what he just said? Really? I mean, just take a moment to reevaluate. Like, look at your life, look at your choices. That's all I have to say about that. All right, let's move on to the other portion of a gun story. A GOP lawmaker is reviving legislation that would essentially legalize silencers in the United States. Now, silencers are currently legal, but an individual who wants to obtain them has to go through quite a bit of obstacles in order to do so. And part of the reason why is because silencers silence guns, and they're oftentimes used by criminals. So making them widely available is probably not the best idea. Now, Representative Jeff Duncan had originally presented this bill, but after the shooting involving Representative Scalise, they decided to kind of retire it for a little while, and now they're bringing it back. Now, Duncan introduced the silencer provision in a broader bill known as the Sportsman Heritage and Recreational Enhancement Act, or SHARE Act. Now,
because assassins are sportsmen, so you know.
Okay, so what is his argument in favor of the silencers? Because here's the reality: law enforcement against legalizing or making these silencers easier to obtain, right?
Blue lives matter.
Okay, so
blue lives matter.
Cops don't like it. It's used by really bad guys out there, criminals. So what's his reasoning? He's like, well, you know, the thing is, these hunters go out there, they're hunting, it's loud, and I really want to make sure I protect their hearing. I kid you not, that is the excuse that he's giving, which is unbelievable. And by the way, this isn't just a Republican thing. There are four Democrats who have co-sponsored this legislation. I'll give you their names in just a second. But you know, I'm also concerned about ear protection for hunters, which is why I would recommend this. Let's go to graphic 14.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that looks good. Or this, let's go to graphic 15.
Or get Beats or something.
Or here's another one, let's take a look. All right, here's a hunter modeling one of these devices.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, looks like his ears are safe. Okay, we're ear muffing the hunters. Okay, look, here's the thing. This is nonsense, and that excuse just further reinforces my feelings of how nonsensical this is. And in terms of the Democrats who have supported this, you have Representative Gene Green from Texas, Representative Henry Queller from Texas, Representative Colin Peterson, Representative Peter DeFazio.
Again. Really, DeFazio is very progressive. That's disappointing to see that.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So now the part of the story that amazes me actually is, as Anna pointed out, it's not, we're America. It's not like you can't buy a silencer if you want to assassinate someone. You can. We believe in weapons, all sorts of weapons. It just takes you a little longer. So what the government says is, hey, you know what, you gotta submit for fingerprints and take a photograph in order to purchase a silencer, and it might take all the way up to 9 months. Now, the people who don't wanna be fingerprinted and have their picture taken when they're buying a silencer are the people who are usually going to murder someone. Now, if you're gonna go shoot deer and you're really, really concerned about your hearing and the Beats thing is not working and et cetera, okay, then okay, golly gee, you know what, I'll think a little bit ahead here. And if you, what conservatives always tell me about warrantless wiretapping and other things is, if you haven't done anything wrong, you got nothing to worry about, right? Why, are you planning to kill someone? Well, okay, then.
Why do you guys need silencers? It's, there has to be a better reason. Like if ear protection is the only reason you have and there are already devices that people can just easily buy, you need to come up with a better reason, bro.
I have one. Weapons are generally like, you know, they're quiet. Firearms are really loud to where the headphones just don't work. So all of our good Americans who carry firearms for protection and hunting purposes, I mean, they're so loud in their ears, it just doesn't happen. So they need silencers for their things because they're cooler Americans. It's a toy thing is all it is. You know how much cooler it is if you have a gun with a silencer on it and you show off to your friends, hey, check this out.
Yeah,
I'm cool.
It's also a weapons manufacturing thing. They want to make money.
Firearms manufacturing thing. Stop with this, what are you doing?
The whole weapons talk, they're just firearms.
I'm okay. Sorry for the defamatory language toward the gun, okay?
Okay, no, but JR is exactly right. They saw it in the movies. They want to buy another cool toy. And I hear you, brother. When I hear the movie, you know what? I might even have it here. Okay, it sounds cool.
Does it?
So, I think so. Okay, I'm going to keep it real.
Sounds like a struggling fart. That's what it sounds
like. All right, fair enough. That's your interpretation.
Okay.
And you want to buy those toys, and the manufacturers want to sell those toys. But sometimes those toys are used by really dangerous men, and sometimes they kill cops. So I think it's okay if we have your fingerprints. If you're shooting deer, you're not going to have any issues with it at all. But if your gun is used to murder someone, at least we know who the assassin is. Not too much to ask for. But for these guys, what do you mean, man? It impinges on my freedom. I'm a sportsman and also a snowflake with really bad hearing.
Can we also just finally accept the fact that Republican lawmakers and the NRA only pretend to support cops? Because in reality,
yes,
they're in favor of armor-piercing bullets, which cops are obviously against. They're in favor of these silencers, which cops are obviously against. They don't care about Blue Lives Matter either. They care about profits, because in America, profits always, always are considered more important than human lives, regardless of who you are or what you do for a living.
That's such a great point, and I'll end on this. So when Black Lives Matter does a protest, that apparently endangers cops with their voices. But when people buy armor-piercing bullets and silencers that cops are worried might murder them, that apparently is not a real issue. So bullets that can kill cops, not an issue. People saying, hey, please stop killing us in a protest, which is protected by the First Amendment, that's the real issue. So those are the guys that Fox News, etc. calls terrorists. The guys who buy the silencers and the armor-piercing bullets, I don't know if you know this, but not a lot of people, bad guys wearing armor, it's usually the cops, okay? But those guys who are intending to buy things that normally kill cops, oh, good Americans, good patriotic Americans. Insane priorities. Okay.
Yep.
All right, we gotta take a break.
Yep.
Okay, when we come back, did 60 Minutes purposely try to make Steve Bannon look bad, or does he do a good enough job of that on his own? And also, Anna's new favorite person in the world is actually a sportscaster, and he has broken America's heart. We will share that story with you when we return. All right, back on TYT. Mark Sean Rushow writes in, there is a bigger issue with copyright claims on YouTube that goes beyond PewDiePie. Well, that's certainly very true.
Yeah, we know all about it.
Trust us. In fact, we're going to do a recreation for you guys just to avoid one. Copyright issue in a minute. Anyway, Digital Shard says, free scumbag, drop your self-defense tool. Very amused by that. In the post game today, we're gonna go old school. An old friend is back. We have a surprise guest for you guys. And so I just want to save it for the post game. TYTnetwork.com/join. And our members of the day are James Butler and Jennifer. Giannunzio, Jennifer, good to have you as a member. Okay, said the guy whose name is unpronounceable. Okay, forward, what do you got?
All right. Did 60 Minutes purposely make Steve Bannon look bad on camera? Or did he manage to do that all by himself without any help from CBS whatsoever? Now, this question was raised by Peter Duke, who seems to be a Trump supporter and who also posts videos on YouTube. Anyway, I don't know anything about this guy. I just think that his conspiracy theory about Bannon is hilarious.
Yeah, so he's a self-proclaimed photographer, which I suppose there's no reason to doubt him, except that he comes up with funny conspiracy theories. He also had photo sets that he had dedicated to Make America Great Again, a hence a Trump supporter, but also to, quote, butthurt losers. So very classy.
He's butthurt about Steve Bannon not looking attractive enough on 60 Minutes.
Every single thing that a conservative does is projection. You guys get triggered so easily. Oh, you made Steve Bannon look bad. I'm melting.
Now, look, to be fair to him, Steve Bannon did look really bad on 60 Minutes. In fact, there's a video of like a pulse in his neck.
Look at it on the right hand side.
But why is that? Oh, it's making me so uncomfortable. Okay. Make it stop. Okay, so
okay,
did CBS do that? Did they make his neck pulsate like that? I don't
know. Did CBS put the lizard inside Steve Bannon? I don't think so. Look, we're not the ones with the lizard people theories. The Alex Jones crowd is, right? And they're right wingers. So, I mean, if ever there was a lizard person trying to get out of the skin, because I don't know if you've seen some of the videos. I saw like 30 seconds of one of the videos. It's like some poor guy like 1,000 miles away in the video.
Yes.
And they're like, I don't know. He's trying to get out of his skin. You can, dude, no one's ever tried to get, no lizard has ever tried to get out of their skin more than what was happening on 60 Minutes. Okay.
This is
but
insane.
There are no lizard people.
Okay, okay.
Steve Bannon just looks bad.
Okay, there's more.
Okay.
So Peter Duke believes that they purposely used saturation to make his eyes look bloodshot and, you know, his lips look redder than they normally are.
Yes.
And then he also believes that they purposely placed orange curtains behind Bannon because those orange curtains make his skin look worse. And then the curtains behind Charlie Rose were purposely light orange, which made Charlie Rose look much better. Which, by the way, look, I love Charlie Rose, like no hate, but like, let's go to graphic 23. Charlie Rose looks like Charlie Rose.
Yeah. They're like, you can't tell the makeup on Charlie Rose's face. I'm like, no, I can't. It's right there. I can see it. And his hair is unkempt. I mean, God bless his heart. By the way, we labeled him Steve Bannon, fake news. That's Charlie Rose, obviously. So look, maybe it wasn't shot great, but it wasn't like, we're going to make Charlie Rose look really pretty. Steve Bannon looked like he had a lot to drink last night. They also made him go to a bar the night before. Okay, I don't know if he was drinking. I have no idea.
He's not a good looking dude. Like, I don't
That's
like.
That's okay. I'm not
like,
a good looking dude.
I don't like commenting on people's looks, but Steve Bannon is not like some freaking go getter Lothario with like the ladies, and everyone's like, oh my God, Steve Bannon's so good looking. And then somehow CBS made him look like he was on a bender last night.
This is not from CBS, just to be clear.
That's just Steve Bannon being Steve Bannon.
Yeah, and his nose there in every picture looks 1,000 times more red than it did on CBS. You know why? They put makeup on him to make him look better, not worse. And it's a hard task. And by the way, look at his eyes there and there. It looks a little like it's got red right around it. Of course, that's what he looks like.
No, but that guy thinks he's superior
to other people, yes.
To everyone.
Yeah.
Like, that's not white, right? Like
yeah.
he thinks he's superior to my husband. Like
okay.
If humanity depended on me procreating with that guy, I'd be like, all right, well, we're all fucked. Bye.
Okay. Bye, Felicia.
Like, there's no way in hell he. Okay. But anyway, he thinks he's superior. Let's move on. All right.
We had a nice run. That's last
God.
And his last words to humanity is, it was a good run.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye, Earth.
All right. An ESPN sports reporter has gone viral. Now, this happened during Monday Night Football, something that I typically don't care about. But somehow Sergio Dipp managed to make me care a lot about Monday Night Football. Now, he was acting as a sideline reporter. And unfortunately, since it was his debut as a sideline reporter, and typically he does his sports broadcasting in Spanish, it didn't go off as smoothly as one would hope. Now, I would love to show you the original video, but we can't for copyright reasons. And so as a result, we got Jason Rubin, our lovely sports reporter, to recreate the performance of Sergio Dipp.
Before we go to the video, if you didn't watch it, you don't have to watch it. Jason nailed it. He's saying word for word what Sergio said during the broadcast and doing a hell of a job of acting just like Sergio. And almost kind of looks like him too. So if you didn't see it, you don't have to. Here it is.
Beth, coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close. Just watching coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL. And here he is having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
Okay. So that was word for word what he said. We just reread it. Check out Jason Rupin on youtube.com/TYT Sports, by the way. Yes.
So I am missing some context that I want you to fill in the blanks for.
Yes.
Okay. So this was a legendary game for a number of different reasons. Now, the thing that people kind of latched onto was the word diversity that Dip used during his sideline reporting. Can you just hash that out a little bit?
Yeah, it wasn't that legendary. It's just a fairly normal game. I mean, he's a young black coach. That's fine. And Sergio is from ESPN Deportes, and he's a young 29-year-old broadcaster. Mm-hmm. And so he's also a minority. He's saying like it's a nice thing that Vance Joseph is getting this break. Was the coach on the other side also minority?
I think that was the thing, yeah.
Yeah, because the Chargers just changed their coach.
Yeah.
Okay, really not that important a game.
Oh, okay, okay. Whatever.
So, I mean, people with two black head coaches. That was one of the things that was a big actual like historic thing when it was a Super Bowl coached by two black coaches.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
And by the way, so more context here. Normally it's only one Monday night game, but today, but in the beginning of the season, they are now doing two Monday night games to launch the season. So there's like an A crew and there's a B crew, and they're giving Sergio a shot and the B crew.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're like, God bless your heart.
Okay. So look, this story so far, in my opinion, is kind of schwang, wang, wang. Okay. So here's the sideline reporter. He didn't do so great. But here's where the story, in my opinion, does get interesting.
There was that one line in there. He said his diversity helped him tonight. That could have been the hook of sounding like, which this is not what he meant,
right,
which we'll get to. But that's what could have rung in some people's ears is the Rush Limbaugh thing, saying he's getting his credit because he's black, not because of any of his.
Yeah, but you know, I think most of the heat was not about politics. It was just like he didn't do that well. Okay, so, and a lot of people were making fun, but in like kind of a sweet way. They weren't being, the stuff I saw wasn't that mean.
Yeah, they were using this line. What is it? Oh, boom goes the dynamite or something.
It's the internet thing.
That's the internet thing where it went disastrously.
Okay.
Right, and that's the reference to that.
So people kept using that and tweeting to him, and I'm sure, it wasn't a comfortable thing for him to experience. So he posted a video on his Twitter account, and it's just so sweet and so earnest. Like, okay, let's take a look.
So while I wanted to do was to show some respect. Making my debut as a minority on American national TV, the biggest stage out there. On the most heartfelt day in this great country made up by immigrants, and on some people's perspective, it all went wrong. But I truly meant no disrespect, because all I wanted to do was to show some love to these two historical head coaches.
Okay, so here's the thing. You guys helped us raise money for reporters, and I really think we need to hire him.
Oh, of course.
Like, I think that we need to, we need a comprehensive sports reporting crew. And we just don't have, like, the Latino perspective in our sports department, in my opinion, is a little underrepresented, and we need to hire Sergio immediately.
You love Latino men so much.
No,
it's absurd.
It has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
He's a hard worker.
Okay.
And he,
Yeah.
He
wants, I don't know,
more opportunities, and I want to give it to him.
Okay. So look, I don't know that he should be. I feel bad saying that. Anyway.
He could get better though, James. He could get better. Look, here's the thing. Most people, especially when they're placed in a new role, like, you know how terrible we were on camera?
I cringe
at old videos.
I was awesome from the start.
No, you weren't. You need the opportunity to improve and grow. And so I'm glad he got that opportunity. I hope they keep giving him that opportunity because he wants to do better.
Okay, or it could be that he is a good-looking guy who had a cute little like suit on with a little lapel flower and seemingly reading that from his hotel room after he was devastated after checking Twitter. To be fair, let's show you a really small clip of me when I got started in Miami and see how well I did back then.
Guys, excuse me, don't push me.
It actually got way worse from there. That's from a scene from Mad as Hell, but if you watch the whole clip, I asked Kevin Spacey, why did you come out and talk about the gay thing? Oh, yeah. So Sergio, I'm with you, brother. Hang in there. And now that he did that cute video, a lot of people are on his side. They're like, come on, you got ESPN, you got to give him another chance.
They have to.
And not because of the Anna's reasons.
No! I think that there's a lot of untapped talent there.
That she'd like to tap.
There is. I'm married, you know?
So none of that. No. That put her in trouble.
Put me in trouble. Okay. All right, but one final point that I think is important to bring up in regard to this story. Can we go to graphic 34 real quick? So, just, you know, just there's the post that he put up there. Now let's go to graphic 22. Sorry, I know. All right, he thinks he's superior to that guy. Let's just do it one more time, okay? Steve Bannon thinks he is superior to that guy. Just want to put it all out there.
Okay. Now, you know what happened? Now it's out there. Okay. All right, give Sergio one more chance, and that's it.
Yeah. Okay, one more story before we call it a night. Hillary Clinton's book is getting a lot of attention because she has written some pretty insane things in that book. Now, one of the more insane things that was brought to light by, unfortunately, a Breitbart reporter was a portion of her book where she compares herself to Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones.
Oops.
All right, so let me show you that portion of the book, read it to you so you kind of know where she's coming from. She says, crowds at Trump rallies called for my imprisonment more times than I can count. They shouted guilty, guilty, like the religious zealots in Game of Thrones chanting shame, shame, while Cersei Lannister walked back to the Red Keep. Okay, so for those of you who don't watch Game of Thrones and have no idea who Cersei Lannister is, she's best known for being the ruthless, power-hungry villainess who is responsible for the deaths of thousands just so she can sit on the Iron Throne. Wow.
Not the comparison you want to make. So yes, that was the one scene where you felt slight sympathy for Cersei Lannister as she walked and they said,
shame, shame.
Which, by the way, is a somewhat appropriate analogy, although not in the way that she meant it, because between Cersei Lannister and the religious zealots, you had to choose between the lesser of two evils, and you were stuck in a pretty bad situation, and you really didn't want to go with the religious zealots, but Cersei Lannister wasn't much of a choice either. So if you're going to try to be cool, just do a little bit of research and ask some people around you, hey, is Cersei a good guy or a bad guy? Is that an appropriate analogy? Should I put a slight caveat to that? Not that I'm saying that I'm like Cersei. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. It's a typical fail from a campaign that was otherwise great if it wasn't for Bernie, Comey, Russia, the weather, and everything else. She would have won.
One really small thing. I don't watch Game of Thrones, but every time anybody brings anything up and you guys laugh about it, I don't go, ha ha, like I know what I'm saying. I'll say, I don't know what that means. And I'm not in the spotlight. If I'm running for president or used to be, and I'm putting something out, I would say, what does this mean before I say it?
Yeah.
Simple.
If you watch it, you know Cersei's not who you want to compare yourself to. If you don't watch it, just pull somebody aside. Almost every other person other than JR watches the show in America. Be like, hey, should I compare myself to Cersei or is that a bad idea? I hear there's a lot of bad guys in Game of Thrones. Okay, anyway, I'm going to write a book soon. Where I compare myself to Littlefinger, because I think Lord Baelish nailed it. Anyway, all right, chaos is a ladder. We got to go. Guys, I do have overtime for you guys and postgame, tytnetwork.com/join. Bye-bye.